Welcome to All Sides with Anna Staver. It's our fall membership drive. More on that in a moment. Our next guest is no stranger to NPR listeners, especially fans of the weekly quiz show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. She's a comedian, book author, podcaster, and former presidential correspondent for late night television. Paula Poundstone, welcome to All Sides.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, your new tour is underway. And I would love to know how you build out a show. How do you decide what to keep from old shows, what to rework? How do you build it?
I wish I could tell you that it was that thoughtful a process. I've been doing this job for 45 years. So somewhere in my head, every night on stage, I have 45 years worth of material rattling around in my head. And I almost never sit down and write per se, where you just sit with a blank piece of paper and you say, now what jokes am I going to think of? I carry a notebook in my back pocket and I have a pen attached to my belt loop. And when I have a thought, an idea for something that I think might be funny, I take out my pen and my notebook and I jot it down. And then I try it out on stage. And if it, you know, if it's successful, even a little teeny bit, then I figure out which way to go with it and how to do it. When I have the audience response right in front of me. When I first started, I used to sit down in front of blank paper and write. But what happened was I would write this really, really lengthy thing. And then I would have to memorize it, which is really hard for me. But then I would go on stage and sort of lose the audience partway through it and not have the flexibility to sort of stick and move. So eventually I got more to this system of I really work it out in front of the crowd.
I get that. You can definitely over prepare for something. And if you're so rigid about the order you have to go in, sometimes it just doesn't work.
Right, because you've rehearsed it this way, and you say to yourself, "No, this is the next thing, and this is the next thing." And my act is a lot more it's a lot more conversational than that, anyways. You know, in any given conversation, like if you're at a party, for example, a cocktail party, you know, you go in and you complain about how hard it was to park and how badly you got lost getting there. Right. And then somebody else say, and then you talk about current events for a few minutes with people. Right. And then somebody will say, oh, tell that story you told before. And you tell, an oldie but goodie. And then somebody on the other side of the room spills a drink and you mock them for it. That touches all the bases, I think, of what I do on stage.
You started stand up.
Mock people, but other than that,
you poke lighthearted fun sometimes at the audience.
But it's not like a mockery.
No, not in a mean way.
That's not the right tone for. I have an exchange. I have a conversation. I expand on what they've told me.
So you started stand up when you were 19, which, oh my goodness! But how did you find your voice? Was it always there and it was just bringing it out? Or how did you decide what kind of style of comedian you wanted to be?
You know, I think in the beginning, I sort of looked for like some sort of hook. It's sort of embarrassing to me now because it seems so stupid. I don't know on what day, but it was probably certainly a few years into doing what I do, where I figured out, the more myself I can be, the better. And I guess that's true. But so I've spent the last, 42 years just sort of being more and more myself on stage, in part because, like, if you're watching a really good, really good funny movie or a really good sitcom that's funny, a lot of times the jokes that come from a particular character are funny because you know who the character is. And so, you know, by the audience really knowing me, you know, it's not like I have to sit around and think of, like, you know, pithy premises. I just talk as myself, and they all, you know, because we know who that is, it's funny to us. I hope. Anyways, that was my hope.
You're listening to All Sides with Anna Staver on 89.7 NPR News. It's our fall membership drive, which means this is our time to ask you to support listener-supported public radio. You can give right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. For a contribution of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, we have a great thank you gift for public radio fans. You're going to get two tickets to see Paula Poundstone right here in Columbus at the Davidson Theater. The seats are in a special WOSU members-only section, so you'll be sitting with other fans of All Sides and WOSU. This evening with Paula Poundstone is Saturday, December 21st at 8 p.m., so it would make a great gift for you and a friend ahead of the holidays. Make a gift of $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180. Just call 866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org. It's going to be so much fun. If you like Paula on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, you're going to love her smart, observational humor and spontaneous wit live in person at Columbus. You know her from her comedy tours or her appearances on late night talk shows, and maybe even from her podcast. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. So come see her live on stage in Columbus and support 89.7 NPR News at the same time. It's two tickets, so you can bring a friend, a spouse, a kid if they're a Paula Poundstone fan, $15 a month, or a one-time gift of $180 at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. And not only will you be supporting Paula and having a great evening, you're also supporting the news and information that you count on here at 89.7. If this is your station for the facts, then make a gift today. WOSU doesn't have shareholders or commercial interests. We answer to you, our listeners. Support our mission of a more educated and engaged public when you give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So your act consists of 2 hours on stage, which is impressive to talk for that long. As somebody who now talks for a living, I'm like, oh my goodness. But you do a lot of interaction with your audiences, and I wonder, how much do you tailor your act to what's happening in the news and to the places that you're performing?
Well, as I said before, my act is pretty much what comes into my head. And so there are times where I'm really focused in my regular life on the news, paying a lot of attention. And so that does become some of what I talk about on stage as a result. There's other times where I'm, you know, I don't know, just something else is on my mind. And so that's the direction that I go in. Sometimes people say to me, something about the local community will come up in the show, and people wonder if I studied up before I came, which, yeah, that's my reaction too, which is, oh no, that would require the E word effort. That would just be, I can't even imagine. The way I learn about the community in general on the occasions in which I do, are, let's see, sometimes if somebody from the theater picks me up at the hotel, sometimes they'll say something about, you know, we'll drive by something, like, I forget, I was up in Grass Valley, California one time, and there was a giant sinkhole, and we drove by the sinkhole, and the person driving me goes, oh yeah, you know, a bunch of cars went in that sinkhole. So I talked about that on stage for a few minutes. But generally speaking, the way I find out about the community when I do It's just from talking to audience members. You know, I'll say to people, individuals, I'll say, where you, you know, where are you from? What do you do for a living? Where do you live? Within a few minutes, you can also tell a lot by the audience's reaction to what the individual says. Almost always, and this is really not good news about Americans, but almost always, when I'll say to somebody, say I'm in Columbus and say there's a town named Smithville next door. There isn't, to the best of my knowledge, but say that was true. And I say to this person, I say, do you live in, an audience member during the show, I say, do you live in Columbus? And they'll go, oh, no, I live in Smithville. And the whole crowd will go like, ha. Like somehow the people in Columbus had found something bad about the people in Smithville. It's there's all there's that everywhere I go. There is a whipping boy just outside of town. And if you were to go to Smithville, if I was working in Smithville, it was Paula Poundstone live in Smithville, and I have a packed house full of Smithville people. And I would say to one of them in the audience, I said, well, do you live here in Smithville? And they said, no, I live in Columbus. The whole crowd would go, ha.
That's awesome.
We just feel the need to rag on somebody, somebody that's, I forget where the heck I just was. And they, in 2024, they had a south side of town and a north side of town that objected to one another. And I mean, they were laughing about it. It wasn't like Hatfields and McCoy. I mean, they were laughing about it as an audience because they were aware that it was sort of stupid. And apparently, where, because people told me after the show, they felt the need to come up and explain it to me, that it was a division that was more like rich people and labor, that had been in place many years ago. And since then, it had sort of dissipated, but they still kind of held on to that. Welcome to America.
I want to say thank you to Mary Hirsch from Columbus and Jennifer Hayes from Columbus. You're going to have an awesome time at Paula Poundstone's show in December. And if you're looking for any, like, if you just say OH, the entire audience is going to tell you IO. So when you're here, the
Wow.
OHIO chant. Trust me, it works no matter where you are. All you got to do is say OH, the entire crowd's going to go IO.
That is okay. I have to remember that, because there, it sounds like when, okay, do you remember when you were a kid and the music teacher would come into the room, and one of the virtues, I mean, having music in schools is really, really important, and I'm a huge, and I'm very lucky that I did, and I'm a huge promoter of that. But the truth is, one of the virtues of having music in elementary school was that the regular teacher could go have a cigarette and a drink. This was back when I was a kid. They had a break for a little while. Well, the music teacher would r roll the cart in with the glockenspiels on it. And if the class was not necessarily responsive to the music teacher in a disciplined kind of a way. And so the teacher would do this thing, like a call and response clapping thing. She would clap a pattern, and the students would, and somehow it worked. Somehow it made us a cohesive unit. And apparently Ohio has adopted that.
Yes, OHIO, there it happens. It is universal, a way to get the crowd. You can also tick them off by asking if anybody's here from Michigan. So, big football
Oh, it's,
rivalry.
see, don't you love that? Don't you? Okay, all right. So, a lot of towns, I have made the mistake before of saying that I was in some place that I wasn't in. I've been traveling for 45 years. And a lot of times, especially in the wintertime, sometimes I fly in. It's already dark by the time I get there. And it's like I never see the town in the light. So I have made that mistake before of saying, just, I'm in the blah, blah, blah town, when it turns out I was in the blah, blah, blah town. And of course, it makes people really mad. But okay, there's a big rivalry between Tucson and Phoenix. Okay, now, Ohio people, this is just between us, don't ever tell Phoenix and Tucson that I said this. But if you make the mistake of even bringing up Phoenix when you're in Tucson, let alone thinking you're there for a few seconds, or bringing up Tucson when you're in Phoenix, they get so mad because they have this ridiculous rivalry. And here's the truth, and don't ever tell them I said this. The two places are the exact same.
Oh my goodness.
They're both like neither climate can support human life. They're both the same. Oh my gosh, they're rivalrous. Yeah, that's also is sort of the spice of life, I think, for people sometimes. I think people just love those sort of foolish conflicts because it's sort of fun.
Yeah. This is 89.7 NPR News' Membership Drive. My guest today is the one and only Paula Poundstone. You may know her from her iconic comedy shows. You may know her from her many, many times as a panelist on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. That's actually how I first discovered her. Or you may know her from her podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. No matter how you know her, we're thrilled that she's helping us with our membership drive this hour. And you can make it a great success when you go now to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. For $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180, you and a guest will get to go enjoy an evening of laughs with Paula Poundstone at the Davidson Theater in the Rife Center. The show is Saturday, December 21st at 8 p.m. Maybe you can get these tickets as an early holiday gift. Take a friend, take a family member, take somebody who's never seen her comedy before. These seats are in a WOSU member section, which means you'll be sitting with other people who love 89.7 NPR News and all sides. You don't want to miss your chance to get these tickets because we don't have unlimited tickets. There are a finite number of tickets in this auditorium. There are a finite number of tickets that we have reserved in this exclusive WOSU section. It's $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 when you go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And look, no matter how much you give, you're supporting the news and information here at 89.7 NPR News. And we're incredibly thankful for it. This station brings you coverage you can trust when it comes to the latest information from the State House, from State House races, social justice issues, even fact from fiction in Springfield when it became part of the national news conversation. If understanding what is happening in Central Ohio and the world is important to you, then having a trusted news source has never been more important. We're listener-supported public radio. You're the power behind what we do. And we're really proud to say that listener support is the foundation of our budget. We don't answer to shareholders, we answer to you. So make a gift in any amount. But if $15 a month fits in your budget, then you get two tickets to see Paula Poundstone in Columbus as your gift. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And Paula, as I said, I first discovered you on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Oh, gosh, probably 15 years ago. My favorite segment is Bluff the Listener, which features one true story and two made-up stories, and a call-in contestant has to guess which one is correct. I want to play a short clip of you on the most recent Bluff the Listener, selling a story about the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills have started their season with three straight wins, and Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen credits the team's passion for playing Catan as part of the reason why. It's a board game. They play it a lot. Why? To quote one player, there's less to do in Buffalo. Supremacy in Catan, a civilization-building game, requires strategy, teamwork, and adaptation. It is played with 3 to 4 players and is low impact, very low impact. In fact, unless the players engage in pushing and shoving over seating arrangements, there's no impact at all.
So I love it. It turns out that was the true story. They do play Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, which... Actually, the story was like about and the guys did say, you know, we're indoors a lot here. You know, and there's, you know, there's not that much to do. But they were talking about sort of team building and getting to know each other. And I think they have a relatively new team, and that they had sort of latched onto this game as a part of that. And they took it very serious. They take the game very seriously, the Catan game. It's funny to me to think of football players. I mean, I guess they don't play in their uniforms.
That would be a good tableau, though, them in their uniforms playing Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, with pads and stuff. there's very few injuries in Catan, I think. It's not a game that I'm really familiar with. I still have a shelf of games in my house, and my kids haven't lived at home in years.
But I just can't,
you know, it's a family game night is not going to break out. That's the reality. There's not going to be a family game night, but I cannot give those games up. I just, you know, I'm talking, you know, Monopoly and Yahtzee and apples to apples.
No, there's nostalgia there. My kids are 9 and 7, so we're in the thick of like family games.
Oh man, that is great. At one point I toyed with giving them away. And one of the things that I noticed was on some of the boxes of some of the games, there's like pictures of people playing the game, a good-natured dad, you know, with his hand on his forehead that's, you know, clearly losing. And I thought, you know, isn't that funny? None of the people on the box look anything like my family or how we ever played the game. The family on the box seems to be having more fun than it's even possible to have playing that game. But they never show anybody doing it the way we did. They never show anybody flipping the board in a rage. No one's ever crying. They never show someone shoving a playing piece up their nose. They're it's not really us. We never played a game without those things.
I want to say thank you to Richard Einstein from Worthington and Suzanne Begley from New Albany. You're going to have a great time at the show. Yeah. You know, I saw an old interview with you in which you called the stage your brain space and the joy of talking with the audience. I think it's hard to be pithy off the cuff, at least for me personally. It's hard to go with the flow of that conversation. Do you consider yourself an extrovert? Like, do you feed off those kinds of social interactions?
Not much in real life, I don't think, but on stage, you know, every show has a little life of its own. You just sort of do get swept up in little, waves and eddies and, things that you try to explain to somebody later and you can't explain why it was funny, but it was the funniest thing of the night. And that's, you know, that reminds me of being in the Ross's basement when I was a kid, my next door neighbors who had the really fun house. And how hard we would laugh as kids. And same thing, like, you know, if an adult came into the room and was like, what's so funny? And you try to explain it, they just sort of walked away scratching their head. You know you've struck that great thing where you're a part of the group, right? Because it really can't be explained to another group. There's something magical about that. During the stay-at-home order, obviously, we couldn't have audiences anymore in that way, in that collective way. Theaters were closed for 15 months. And I didn't know if I would ever work again. I knew I would have to work somewhere doing something. But I didn't know if I would ever work as a performer in front of a live audience again. And, you know, the Zoom thing was a horrible, you know, trying to find a way to bring what I do, online was a nightmare. Obviously I feared for, you know, my income, for the joy of doing this job that I truly love. But there's another aspect, which is, Nils Lofgren one time during that period of time, the great guitar player and singer with, he sometimes tours with Springsteen. Nils posted a clip of a Springsteen concert. And I found myself watching, not Springsteen, but when they would pan to the audience and the joy in that audience. And I burst into tears when I was watching it because I realized, oh my gosh, that's one of the things that we're missing. I'm not talking about me as a performer. I'm talking about me as an audience member.
Yeah.
Being able to be in a room full of people where you have a shared emotion, whether it's watching a play, a movie, a concert, a dance performance, doesn't matter. That thing where we gather together with strangers and have a shared emotional response, it reminds you that you're human. Because what you're sure of is, I don't know, just take, for example, so watching E.T., right, in the theater for the first time. Everybody was crying. And you go, oh, I'm a human being. I have the same response as other human beings. There is something about that that is so reassuring.
Yeah.
And it's so easily taken for granted. And people have not returned. I mean, Taylor Swift seems to be doing okay. But people in general have not returned to movie theaters or theaters in general quite the way they used to. And would I like everyone to come to my show and be reminded that they're human beings and feel connected to their neighbors again? Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. I wish you would. But it doesn't have to be my show. It needs to be, we need as a society and for our mental health, I think that live show, that live audience experience, and it can't, doing it online isn't the same. Almost any time anybody types LOL, they're lying.
I want to say thank you to Linda Benner from Columbus, who's going to get that live collective experience in December. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides. Joining us this hour is comedian Paula Poundstone. She's a Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me panelist, a podcast host, an author. Paula's going to be in Columbus in December, and we've reserved a block of tickets in a WOSU members-only section. You know, Paula was just talking about that kind of collective experience. Imagine having it with a bunch of public media fans. You're surrounded by your fellow NPR nerds. And we have a limited number of tickets. Once they're gone, unfortunately, they're gone. So give $15 a month as a sustaining member, and you get two tickets to Paula's show on December 21st. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This $15 a month also supports public radio. It supports the news and information you depend on. All Sides here, our team is committed to bringing you thoughtful, in-depth discussions every day. We don't talk to guests for 2 minutes or 3 minutes. Sometimes we spend an entire hour on an issue with a single guest so that you come away understanding things better. You get the news, the history, the context. We recently wrapped up our last season of Untangled, where we take a complicated topic and untangle it for you. This season was all about redistricting because we're going to vote on a redistricting constitutional amendment in November. And we really thought it was important for our listeners to understand the issue, the history of it, the context, who all the players were. If having a show like that is important to you, then make a gift and support it. Make a gift at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. All Sides is not a show where talking heads yell at each other. It's a public radio talk show. We have civil conversations. I think we trust our listeners to be smart enough to understand. We want to give all sides a voice, and we trust that our listeners can make educated choices about what they hear. And if that kind of conversation is important to you, maybe that's why you listen to 89.7 NPR News. So if you've never picked up the phone, if you've never supported us, but you enjoy that kind of conversation, then call 866-897-9678 or give at WOSU.org. And for $15 a month, or a one-time gift of $180, you're going to get 2 tickets to see Paula when she is live in Columbus. She'll be at the Davidson Theater on Saturday, December 21st at 8 p.m. And remember, we have that block of tickets. It's a WOSU members-only section, but we only have a limited number. I want to say thank you to Tracy and Doug Price from Newark. Tracy says, "I finally did it. I got married and donated to NPR. Congratulations, guys." And if you want to donate, go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Paula, you have a podcast. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, which I kind of love as a title of a podcast. And I wonder, how did it come about? And also, I have questions about Dear Crinkle, but we can get to those after you talk about how the podcast came together.
I did a podcast that was, a podcast experiment, I guess you might call it, with NPR, a pilot kind of thing. And it, that's how, you know, they came to me and asked if I wanted to do that. And what we found was that it was incredibly expensive to make, and there was almost no way to make money from it. And so it was dissolved. But now I had a taste of the pie. And so me and my partner, Adam Felber, also from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, decided that we would, you know, trudge on and try to make a podcast. Now, our initial discovery with the other one, which was live from the Poundstone Institute, bore out what we learned from that, which is it's impossible to make money. You know, podcasting is very much like the rest of the overall economy. There's the 1% that do make money, and then the rest of us just scramble for crumbs and think about quitting a lot. And we've been at it for 6 years now. We've been doing Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone for 6 years. And the reason we continue to do it, despite the fact that it really is just, I may be a Ponzi scheme, even podcasting. I'm not certain. There are millions of them, podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very glutted market, which is part of the reason it's hard to, you know, it's hard to do anything. Having said that, I think the reason that I haven't quit for lack of, profitability, it's that it's so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pain in the neck. There was Onion headline that said something like 75% of podcasters don't know who their guest will be tomorrow. And you're always scrambling, like trying to book the guest and trying to think of ideas. And, it's a lot of work. But the thing, when you're sitting down and doing it, we get laughing so hard. And so I'll be like, I'll start to tape an episode and I'm like ready to break the news to my coworkers that this is it. I have to make more than 3 cents an hour. I just have to. And then by the time we're finished making the episode, I'm like, that was so much fun. I couldn't possibly quit that. our podcast, like many comedy podcasts, is an hour or so of mostly silliness. Like anything that people connect to, I think they get to know the voices on the podcast. And what we really hope for is that, we really want it to feel like, a clubhouse, a treehouse, right? Where you, you know, you climb up the ladder, and in our case, you sit around the fire until you realize.
Hopefully there's no fire in the treehouse.
Well, that's my point. And we have grit. That's the, okay. The other reason why the fact that I make 3 cents an hour at it, is tolerable is we do have great listeners. They write to us, they say funny things. They do like listener, you know, art. They, you know, they're forever posting pictures of us in different scenarios and, you know, nothing that we've prompted, nothing that anybody ever said, would you do this? They just do it. And really, really fun. So, you know, it's a funny medium because it's not radio. Although there are radio programs that also post themselves on the internet, but you know, podcasting is this sort of odd duck. It's probably a fad to some degree. And will probably, you know, eventually give way to, I don't know, a resurgence of karaoke, something.
I want to say thank you to Leslie Zavarella from Delaware. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. And this is All Sides with Anna Staver. Now is the time to make a gift. You're running out of time, so if you've been thinking about donating, you should make a gift while Paula Poundstone is live on the air with us. Your gifts are critical to the future of 89.7 NPR News. Support the conversations we bring you. We work hard, like the whole newsroom works hard, to bring you interesting voices and conversations. Many times we here at All Sides talk to a guest for an entire hour like we're doing today. You only find that kind of depth on public radio. So support 89.7 NPR News at WOSU.org. Or call 866-897-9678. If you make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you're going to get two, not one, two tickets to see Paula Poundstone at the Davidson Theater in the Rife Center on December 21st. And that gift not only gets you tickets to the event, it's an investment in the future of our radio station. If you listen to Morning Edition, then catch All Sides during the day, All Things Considered on the way home, then you're a dedicated public radio fan. Your gift makes these keeps these great programs on air in the months to come. Make a gift of $15 a month and get your two tickets to see Paula Poundstone when she's in Columbus. Call 866-897-9678 or make your gift online at WOSU.org. Paula Poundstone is well known to public radio fans. I've been listening to her for years as a guest on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. We've been talking about her podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And it's really, I feel like I'm eavesdropping on a conversation between old friends. You'll get to showcase, if you come in December, you will get to see her smart, observational humor live on stage. When you get the tickets and become a member this hour, it's $15 a month, which is, you know, you go out to lunch, it's going to probably cost you close to $15 a month. And give, or a one-time gift of $180, and you're going to get two tickets as your thank you gift. Call 866-897-9678 or make a gift at WOSU.org. If you have a fan of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me in your life, these tickets would be a great gift. Surprise somebody. Surprise the public radio nerd in your life. Give to WOSU.org or 866-897-9678 and come on down and get two tickets to see Paula live on stage. So one thing that you do on your podcast is this Dear Crinkle. And some of the questions that you get from listeners are kind of serious. Like the other week, you had a woman who was frustrated by her husband's pursuit of a real estate career that just wasn't paying the bills. So you get, I think some of those questions are like real serious questions. How do you balance that as a comedian? Because like, I think the advice, I mean, you get a pretty wide range of advice.
Yeah, okay, so Bonnie Burns, who's a voice on the podcast, Bonnie Burns is my manager. And she is a voice on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. She was not, that was not originally the case. Prior to COVID, we used to record in a studio. So Adam and I were the show, and we had a producer named Tony Anita Hull, who was there in the studio with us. And my manager, Bonnie Burns, was also a producer. But Adam and I were the voices on the show. And then we would have a couple of guests back then. How stupid were we? We used to actually do shows with two guests. That's insane now. Because it's double the work. Bonnie, for whatever her reasons, she is definitely like adult ADD. We have worked together for 30 years now. And she would sit in the studio where Adam and I were trying to interview guests and make jokes and do, you know, things. And, you know, and Bonnie would always be crinkling paper.
No.
She was always, and she would say, well, I was taking notes. And we would, you know, you try to, you know, you're recording, right? It's not live. It's taped and edited, but nonetheless, you're recording and maybe you had sort of caught a wave in a conversation or something, right? And then you'd hear like all this shuffling of papers and we would turn to her and go, eventually we would crack and go, Bonnie, what are you doing? And so we eventually started calling her Captain Crinkle. And as time went on, we would have her, you know, come to a microphone and talk here and there and try to explain her distraction. And the same thing with Tony Anita Hull. As our producer, we would occasionally have her come to a microphone. Well, when COVID hit and we all went to our, we all had to go record the podcast from our homes. So we haven't been in a studio since, but it just seemed right to have Tony and Bonnie also, you know, be on their microphones in their house. And now it's a four voice instead of a two voice podcast. It is a four voice podcast with me and Bonnie. But we began calling her Captain Crinkle, and she really is a loon. So somewhere along the way, Bonnie came up recently with the idea of doing a mini podcast, which is Dear Crinkle, where people write to her for advice. She's had some kind of advice-giving segments on our podcast before. One of them was Garden Time with Captain Crinkle, where gardening almost never comes up. But when she solicits, when she asks listeners to mail in their questions, she specifically asks for them to make them, like, you know, serious questions, which you're right, could go south on you. But if somebody sent in like a really sensitive, serious question and you answered it in a joking way, on the other hand, they're intelligent listeners and they're sending in questions to a comedy podcast to a woman who's now called Captain Crinkle. So I think they know what they're getting when they send the question. And Adam and I and Tony chime in with our advice on that. You know, it's that particular podcast is helmed by the good captain herself. But we chime in with our opinions as well. And mostly it's a short podcast that's just, again, a vehicle for silly.
We're hoping
not that we don't give good advice sometimes, maybe, kind of, sort of. Although the kind of advice we give is the kind of advice where you really would have been, you know, if someone's struggling for a problem, like somebody yesterday, we recorded one where it was a guy and he said he and his wife, who he was very much in love with, he and his wife, that she interrupts him a lot or she'll talk over him. And he said, you know, we've struggled with this problem for 15 years. And, you know, and that his most recent solution for like the last year or so was that he would just stop saying whatever he was saying when she interrupted and would sort of belligerently not return to the topic. And so we all, you know, spewed our great advice on this topic. But the truth is, if he'd been struggling with the problem for 15 years, anything we could think of, he's already thought of, you know?
Yeah.
I had a son who was an electronics addict as a kid, which is a real thing and a horrible, awful thing. You know, gaming mostly, yeah. But, you know, screens, blah, blah, blah. The company's made it that way on purpose. You get the idea. And I used to go for walks with this neighbor, and I would, you know, she'd say, well, you know, how's your son? And I would say, oh, you know, oh my gosh, you know, can't keep him off. And at the time, I didn't really know what I was dealing with, like how serious and awful what I was dealing with was. But I'd be like, I can't keep him off the computer, blah, blah, blah. And she'd go, well, don't let him use it. And
what a novel idea. I've never thought of that.
Yeah, exactly. Never thought of that. Thanks. Got to go home now. Boy, let me try that out. Can I just say, because I, you know, you keep taking these breaks to talk about public radio. And I want to say that I've been on Wait, Don't Tell Me. I think for 23 years, maybe. But I was a public radio listener even before that. I mean, that's not what draws me to, I love Wait, Don't Tell Me, but that's not what draws me to public radio. What draws me to public radio, especially now, more than ever now, is that I trust it. And here's why I trust it. Because occasionally, not frequently, but occasionally, you'll hear an anchor on a public radio say, we broadcast blah 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 piece of information, and now we've discovered blah blah blah, and we were in error before, and we regret the error. It doesn't happen often, but it happens, and there's no one who's going to get it entirely, especially when you're trying to get to news sort of, you know, as currently as you can. There's no one who's going to get it 100%, 100% of the time. So you just can't expect that one way or the other. But there are broadcasters, not in public radio, not in public television, broadcasters who have to be driven to their knees financially by the courts in order to get them to say, okay, yeah, that thing wasn't true that we said.
Yeah.
That was incorrect that we said. And so during this time, and by the way, and then they go back to saying it. And so especially during this time where really our democracy is hanging by a thread, and I know that's an overused phrase, but it's true. And real information, honest, factual, fact-based, multi-source information is just critical to our survival.
We're hoping to hear from five more people in the final minutes of this hour. So if you listen to Morning Edition every morning, catch all sides, this is the time to show your support for those programs. All the programs on NPR are listener-supported, which means we depend on your donations to do what we do. You trust the news and information on 89.7. Support your source for the news of the day and analysis of long-term trends. And you're running out of time to give this hour, which means you're running out of time to get two tickets to see Paula Poundstone when she's in Columbus this December. Make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 and get your tickets to the WOSU member section of the Davidson Theater. And you're supporting public radio at the same time. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. The hour is coming to an end and we're still looking for five more donations. So give right now while you're thinking about it. Like, I am a goldfish. If I don't do something when I'm thinking about it, it never happens. So give while Paula is on the air with us and join her at the Davidson Theater on Saturday, December 21st at 8 p.m. We have a limited number of tickets in the members only section. So don't wait. All right, I'll see myself out with that joke. Give now. It's two tickets for $15 a month. on WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Thomas Toomey from Reynoldsburg, four more to go this hour. Look, the November election is just a few weeks away. And I hope that you'll be relying on 89.7 NPR News as we get closer and closer to Election Day. And after the election, I hope that you'll be listening to help you understand everything that is going to happen next. So you turn to public radio for news and information you can trust. Thank you to Lee Mamlin from Worthington. Just three more to go this hour. So if you come here for the facts, because that's what we try to bring you, facts, context, and like Paula said, like my mistakes, I have made mistakes. They haunt me. They keep me up at night. But you got to own them. And that's what we do here at WOSU. Like, we are writing the first draft of history, and there are mistakes in first drafts, but we try our best. And when I don't know, when I'm not sure, I hope to make that clear. I'm like, here's what I know now. Here are the information that we have. I'm not afraid to say, look, I don't have the answer to this. I don't know the facts of this circumstance. And that's so important. But we can't do that kind of work without you. So you do your part. Become a member. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And thank you to Catherine Wright for Columbus. We have just two more to go. And we've got just a minute or two left. So, Paula, final quick question with just like a minute left is, you know, I really wanted to talk about some of your books, like the totally unscientific study of the search for human happiness. So it's a little crazy to ask you this and say, do it in 30 seconds. But what's the key to happiness after writing that book?
It's actually science-y. Not that I'm a scientist, but there are fairly specific things that release happy chemicals in your brain. Just to mention one, and there are many, but just to mention one, and I'm really sorry to say it, exercise. I wish it wasn't true. I really wish it wasn't true. I wish it was sitting in a chair eating Doritos, but that, yeah. So, but there are very specific things that you can do. It's something as simple as sort of achieving goals, but they don't have to be big goals.
Yeah.
When you write a list of things to do, it doesn't have to be a mountainous list of things to do. I actually write get up and then cross that off just to give myself a runway. But that thing of achieving a goal and crossing it off gives you a happy chemical release in your brain. Guess what? Here's one. Helping others.
Yeah, and we're looking for your help this hour. We're still looking for two more donations before the hour is up. And for a contribution of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you're going to get two tickets to see Paula Poundstone right here in Columbus at the Davidson Theater. It's December 21st at 8 p.m. It's going to be a great night. Thank you to Ann Gorman from Plain City. We've got one more to go this hour in just a few moments. So I just want to say, no matter what you're donating, thank you so much for supporting us here at All Sides and here at WOSU. It's so great to work for an organization with a mission to really serve the community in which we live. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. We are online at WOSU.org, a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News, global, local.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald
Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.